Welcome to Marketing for the Sales Guy, a podcast that aims to share marketing ideas that salespeople can use, but also hopefully will be relevant to B2B marketers that want to see sales results from their marketing efforts. This week on the show, we have Piacet Izarpakdi at Arm, as he's known to his colleagues. Arm is the CEO of Brandy, a brand consulting firm that works with clients around Asia Pacific and is based in Bangkok, Thailand. Welcome to the show, Arm.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you all. Thanks for having me today.
No problem at all. It's great to have you on the show, Arm.
Great to see you.
I just wanted to ask you, actually, I have a number of questions to ask you, but as I mentioned to you, the show is mainly for marketing professionals, but it started as a way to share marketing ideas that, you know, that salespeople could use. And I wondered if there was any marketing ideas or tools or advice that you could share that you think would be of interest to salespeople?
Mostly, I see the salespeople as a brand ambassador of the company. Regardless to B2C or B2B, B2B is even more important as you represent the company. So not only trying to sell your product and service, try to deliver values of the company, of the corporate that you belong to, and it's the key for selling product and service today.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point about being a brand ambassador, and it's all about bringing value, as you said. I think the brand ambassador role is a very important one. You know, thank you for that one.
Good.
Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you, I know you do a lot of speaking around the region, and I've heard you talk about brand centralization. Can you tell us what you mean by that and why it's so relevant today?
If you're a business, regardless to industry, types of business, corporates or whatever, you basically stand for a profit-centric company. A profit-centric company focuses on two things. Simply, you try to do a cost reduction and to make sure that you generate more revenues, and that's profit-centric company. But today, we are living in the age that product and service only is not the things the client or customer are looking for. People seek for values, and people seek for value matching. So if you want to be value matching, if you want to be value matcher, you could help your clients and your customer easily match their value with your values. You have to turn around your company to become a value-centric company. In summary, if we talk about the business today, that we're living in a connected world. You see that thanks to the social media and digital revolution, we share values in every single entity in this society, no matter who you are, company, citizen, government, or whatever. So in order to pursue your next growth, you have to find your own value system that defines your next growth. And to become a value-centric company, you have to transform yourself from profit-centric to value-centric by shifting your company from seeking for profitability only to focus on a triple bottom line, which is people, profit, and planet. And at the end, build those values on your brand so that it is not only create the values, but create long-term equity. And this process turn around your company to become a brand centralization company. And of course, such a company will be able to get through the crisis, become more resilient, competitive, and seek for sustainable growth.
No, I like that. I like that whole idea of being value-centric and value-matching. And the central idea, I think it's a very good idea. Listen, I had another question related to that.
Sure.
You talked also at various stages about brand 4.0. And indeed, that's the title of your book that you've written.
Okay.
But what is brand 4.0 exactly?
Okay, I believe that answering this question will help you to understand the previous question easier. Okay, so we have number four. It is fourth wave, right? The first wave is the industrial revolution. at that period, you know, returning back to maybe centuries ago, industrial revolution allowing people to access more products and service massively. So that is the era of industry. You might have heard about Ford, right? Ford ruled the games at that time. And at that moment, the brand standing for just an identifier to help you differentiate your supplier from one to another. But the idea is simple. Industry rules the game. You produce massively product and service to serve more people. And this caused a globalization. And you can see the multinational companies happen at those periods because of industrial revolution. And the second wave is about the information revolution. Think about this. If industrial revolution basically produced the car for you, the information revolution is the things that you affect by the advent of the internet. The internet allows consumers to explore more information and knowledge. When you learn more, when you know more, it turns out you become more demanding. You not only want the car, but you want to choose which color you like. You want to choose which type of car you're looking for, maybe not sedan, because you have big family, you want SUV. So you want a customized solution for you, not just a one-size-fits-all solution as the industry delivered to you. That's the result of the information revolution at that time. Brand stand for a trademark that help you to figure out that if you want these kinds of product and service specifically, you have to turn to this brand, you have to turn to that brand. And that's the second wave. And the third wave is about social revolution. Think it this way. The information revolution allow you to access more information and knowledge with the internet. But social revolution is a social media that enable you to connect with your peers. You can talk people to people, consumer to consumer. You can form the community. And when you form the community, you wasn't talking about business, product and service only, but you talk about anything that happened surrounding you, according to society, according to environment, according to a common concerns for the entire world. Say that you are started community by talking about environment. So people gathering this company focusing on the product, which are environmental friendly, talking about education, talking about poverty. When there is social revolution, there is a tipping point between a business and society, because in the information revolution phase, you can imagine that you want more colors of car, you want more types of car, and we call that the value added. So basically you want to buy a car, but if you have more options of colors, you'll be happier. But in the social revolution, you're thinking about if this company care the environment just like me, if this company is good for people just like I want, if this company solves some problems, I believe that this problem share values to me, and I will support this company. And it becomes a fourth wave, which is, I can say, is a total digital transformation. And of course, that digital transformation, the importance of this point is, if you reimagine the industrial revolution, you talk about the power that belongs to industries. At that period, people have no choice. People just buy the product and service that are available in the market. But right now, in our fourth wave, which is our society today, the power from digital transformation is returned to consumer. When the power will return to consumer, rather than thinking what product and service to buy, they're not focused on this point because there are plenty of product and services in the market. Many commodity products, many specific products, customized products, but they would rather think about if that product and service will support their life goal, will support their career, will support their purpose.
Just a question I had. Obviously, you know, we're in a very difficult situation globally and in Asia Pacific with the coronavirus. In these kind of circumstances, you know, companies and marketing professionals tend to focus more on restarting product sales or service sales. I just wondered what advice you would give to businesses that are suffering or just coming through the coronavirus. What kind of advice would you give to them right now?
The pandemic really turned business upside down. I mean, the way that you think about how to do business, the way that you really operate your business, and the way that you communicate your business all have to change completely. And today, we see the crisis happening directly to our living. The pandemic just let us know that money isn't that important compared to your life. So basically, if business see this as an opportunity, you have to shift your mindset from profit-centric only to become a triple bottom line. See your business that you have to stand for profit, people, and planet. And this will help your operation become more resilient. Because when you said in the crisis, you can see some business failed immediately because they focus on producing profit solely. For example, you talk about the airline service, which clearly is affected by the coronavirus. But there are many AI industries that being supported by the consumer or society because they're doing something that's good for people and planet as well. This acting as your immunity to crisis. If you see that the triangle or triple bottom line, people, profit, planet, you can see that your business can withstand the crisis whenever it comes because you're standing with people and planet as well, not only profit only. And that's operation. And the communication, you have to communicate values. Brand lasts long. You can see the brand lasts for 100 years. You talk about Coca-Cola, you talk about GE, you talk about many brands in this world that, you know, exist for more than a century. Focus on communicating your values. And you will see an opportunity to turn that values into the market value, which is a business. It's upside, right? When you do business, you're trying to sell the product and service. But right now, you have to think about why you exit. Think about values that you deliver to society and see the opportunity and business model that can monetize this value into your new business, into another adjacent business that close to your existing business, but more resilient, more immunity. And this can, I'm not sure if what I said to you will help the company to recover from some COVID-19 or not, but I can say that this will help you establish the new mindset that you pay no attention on how worse the pandemic is, but try to think about the future ahead, try to think about values that you can convey or deliver to society, and try to think about the new business model that you might have to explore in order to make sure that you can come back stronger or come back more sustainable. And so the change happened in three layer: mindset, operation, and communication. And recently, our company, Brandy & Companies, created a business resilient framework called Above the Ocean Strategy, which help you not to play in the game of crisis. You know, in the crisis, everybody panic. And when you panic, you are likely to lose your business. But if you stay above the ocean or above the market, you can see that there is a new rules to do business. There is a new roles that business needs. There is a new relationship that business need to form with stakeholder. I think many years ago, 20 years, 30 years, when we say that your business becomes successful, we talk about most profitable company. We talk about net profit. But today we've seen opportunities to position yourself differently. We've seen most innovative company, we see most sustainable company. Crisis today can be an opportunity, and crisis today can be something that accelerates your transformation for the next growth as well.
Okay, well, I think you're right. I think brands have to survive first, but as you said, branding is for the long term. And if we have learned anything from this particular crisis, is that profit and money is not the be-all and end-all of things. People have put other priorities first. So no, I think you're right. Just on this idea of purpose, though, we wanted to ask you, what if a brand is struggling to find a relevant purpose? What if they are a company that just makes nuts and bolts or very simple things? What kind of suggestions would you have for them for finding a purpose?
Okay, I have to say this. I think business owns the purpose already, because the purpose of business is to generate the economic growth. And that's the first purpose of business and why we're doing business. But now the purpose of business has been fulfilled. You can find products and services all around you. You have many choices, but there are still the problems of the society that need a very efficient entity to solve those problems. For example, some of you might have heard the SDG goals, SDG, which is Sustainable Development Goals. There are 17 purposes that you can solve. You can use a business to solve that. We have education problems, we have poverty, we have recently we see gender equality. We have the problems about the sea, land, we have the problem of sustainable city. So many problems still exist in our world. But I think business come closer to this problem by doing so-called CSR. You do corporate social responsibility, but that kind of activity is considered as a business cause. If you are profitable, you spend the money partially to cover with that cost. But if you're not profitable, you forget about this. You use your budget to create your own business. But today, as a purpose, you have to embed and embrace this one of 17 goals into your purpose, into your company. Some company might solve education problems. Some company might solve water problems. Some company might solve a poverty problems. It depends on your competency. It depends on your business models. It depends on your entire organization that you think that these problems your company is ready to solve, and you can be a force for good at that point of view. If you think about this, you can see that there are many people as a community in society focusing on these 17 goals. If you solve the problems, you will belong to that community and they will support your company. And when they support your company, they are likely to become your clients in B2B business, your customer in B2C business.
Okay, well, I think, as you said, there are enough global initiatives out there that people can adopt one for their company. So I think that's a very good tip to share. Just on that, though, what if a brand is associated with a problem or something very negative? How would a brand that's associated with something negative, how would they turn that around and do something for good?
I think that there are two ways to do. The first way is, basically, when we talk about the positive impact, we talk about a net positive impact. For example, if you talk to Coca-Cola, they have to use water as raw material to producing Coke, of course, yes. But what they do is they try to make it more efficient and more effective. So in terms of net positive impact, they try to make sure that the Coca-Cola company stands for something that creates net positive. And with the concept of net positive impact, some of your business can be negative. I have to say this, no one is perfect. Some of your company business can be negative, but you can create a positive impact all around your company. This can do when you can sometime separate your business and your brand from each other. Solving the problems, adhere to some more CSR projects, adhere to some good perception, and eventually they can create a net positive impact. And that net positive impact is a two story concurrently. Okay, well, your business can be one business that sound negative, but the existence of your business in the society create more positive impact with more stakeholders. So this is two way. One, try to make sure that you create the net positive impact. The second one is try to separate your brand and your business. Make sure that your business stands for something that creates your profitability. Of course, you do that because you can create profit. But make sure that your brand stands for something more meaningful. Make sure that your brand is a force for good. Then this could help.
No, I think those are two excellent ideas. Thank you very much for sharing that. Yeah, net positive impact or even separating the brand from the product. No, that's great. Thank you very much for that. Well, once again, thank you very much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on branding. If anybody wanted to reach out to you and Brandy, what is the best way to reach you?
Oh, well, you can just type access to my website, worldwideweb.brandy.com. Brandin companies, NIES.com. And there are plenty of information that might be useful for B2B business, of course.
Okay, no, that's great. Well, I will include some links in the show notes as well. So that's not a problem. And once again, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening.
So thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, do share. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you want to access other podcasts and related articles, you can visit us at omjmedia.com. That's omjmedia.com. Until next time, bye-bye.